This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. It's my pleasure to welcome you again to today's daily Ramadan daily Q&A show with the online masjid brought to you by Islam21C. I'll be your host today, Salman Butt. And just a reminder, if you have any questions whatsoever about Ramadan, it could be about fasting, it could be about anything you want, inshallah, let us know in the comment section below. If you're watching this on YouTube or if you're watching this on Facebook, you can let it know. I'll be checking myself, inshallah, and putting them to the Sheikh. And also, if you have a question which may be a bit sensitive, you can email it to us at dailyqa@islam21c.com. That's dailyqa@islam21c.com. Somebody will be checking that mailbox as well. Speaking of the Sheikh, it's my pleasure to introduce you to our Sheikh Wasim Kempson. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum to Allah, Sheikh. I don't know if I've been frozen or the Sheikh's been frozen. Can you hear me?
Salams.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to Allah, Sheikh. How are you, Sheikh?
Yeah, very well. Jazakallah khairan, barakallah fiqh.
How's the lockdown going for you?
Lockdown is good. It's good. It's not far off norm, actually, to be honest with me.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. How about Ramadan?
Yeah, Ramadan's going good. Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
It's hard to get inshallah. It's hard to get a good steak during lockdown. On top of that, it's Ramadan as well.
I mentioned the supermarket. I literally walked past one.
Mashallah.
Ramadan, inshallah.
Yeah. So, I mean, normally we get our sheikh to give us a brief reminder. So, if you have anything to tell the brothers and sisters there while they send in their questions, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise belongs to Allah. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So I guess now all of us are used to the fast. We're in day number five, coming to the end of day number five here in the UK. And if you haven't already realized that the days are passing very, very quickly. If you look back and start thinking about the beginning of the lockdown we had here in the UK, you're going back 6-7 weeks ago and how quickly that time has has passed. And before you know it, we'll be thinking about, you know, preparing for the last 10 days of Ramadan. And then there will be lots of questions about where or how are we going to pray Salatul Eid and how is that going to happen? So I guess the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, comes to mind. Ni'matani maghbunan fiha kathiru min al-nas, that there are two blessings which people are, they fall short of and are deceived by. And they are as-sahhatu, but as your health, and al-faragh, and free time. And I guess in this unprecedented time, no one has had free time like they have now. So it is an amazing opportunity for us to, I guess, reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different ways. You know, if it's your thing, and it should be really, if it's not, is to go to the Quran, as read as much Quran as you can. But don't restrict only that to that. You know, I can't read the Quran and I can't do anything else in Ramadan, but maybe you can get involved in some form of charity. You give a little bit each day. You know, these are the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those which are done, you know, consistently in qalb, and even if they are very small actions. So it's about, you know, taking each day and trying to maximize and doing as much as you can, get those Ramadan planners out. I don't think we've had a time like this where we have time to fill out and take time. So to keep on top of ourselves. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us qubul, accept from what we're doing, and make it easy for us all. Ameen.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. On the topic of small regular deeds, you know, it reminds me of so many things, like what it in life, not just ibadah, but, you know, saving money, revision, you know, learning something. A friend of mine, he said once that I was contemplating doing a course, a part-time course, you know, and he was thinking then, you know, it's going to be hard, two nights a week, I'm going to have to do X, Y, Z, and it's 3 years long. And then he said, you know what, that was 3 years ago. And the time's already passed.
It's true. Wow.
So,
yeah.
So he said, you know, alhamdulillah, I've made the decision. It's just a little decision whether to go for it or not. And, you know, the time's passed. So when you commit to something small but regular, it's really powerful. It can yield amazing fruits, alhamdulillah. Jump into questions. We've got some good questions coming through. We'll start off with an easy one for you, Sheikh, inshallah. Cool. before the controversy.
It's a home or away question, right?
Can I postpone Taraweeh until the last third of the night? So Taraweeh, if you want to maybe describe how it can be performed at home, inshallah, that would be good as well, inshallah.
Sure. Yeah, so essentially the night prayer is offered after Salat al-Isha, and you have until Salat al-Fajr to offer that. Bearing in mind here in the UK that the nights are quite short. It's not like some other countries where, you know, you might have 8 or 9 hours in the evening and you can plan maybe pray some early and then you want to pray a little bit later. It's really up to you, bearing in mind that we've got about five or six hours, maybe 7 hours at the moment to establish a night prayer. If you want to pray Taraweeh a little bit earlier in the night, that's fine. If you want to delay it to the last third of the night, you have that freedom to do that as well.
Okay. Now, is it more rewardable or less rewardable or the same?
Yeah, so the night is split into three. And as we know in the well-known hadith that the Prophet informed us that Allah Jalla wa'ala descends to the last third, to the last of the heavens and the last third of the night. And Allah Jalla wa'ala calls to his servants, who is asking for forgiveness, that I will forgive them, and who's asking for guidance, I will give to them, who's asking me so I can give to them. So no doubt there is a blessing which is in the last third of the night that you don't find in the earlier part. So the latter part of the night is, yes, more virtuous. Wallahu alam.
Okay. Zakla khair, Sheikh. We have another question. This is one actually came from yesterday. Somebody was asking, can I do i'tikaf at home?
Yeah. So with regards to i'tikaf, bearing in mind, of course, the masajid are closed. Mm-hmm. And if it was somebody's normal practice to perform i'tikaf, if something else prevents you from doing that, then anta ala niyatik, then you will be what you intended, and Allah Jalla wa'ala will reward you for that, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. However, the i'tikaf is, according to the vast majority of the ulama, is only in the home, both for men and women. So
it's only in the masjid, did you say, not the home?
Sorry, my apologies. So the i'tikaf is only permissible in the masjid. Did I say home? Apologies. Yeah, I meant the masjid. Mm-hmm. I'tikaf is only permissible in the masjid, and that's for both men and women. But like I say, if it was your normal practice, don't think that you're going to miss out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention, what you were you were going to do. And of course, based upon the hadith that the Prophet that the person is rewarded upon what they used to do if something prevents them from doing that. Na'am, wallahu a'lam.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Jazakallah khair. It's very powerful and comforting just to know that if it's something is your regular practice, you know, you shouldn't become depressed and upset that you can't do it if, you know, you're intending the reward, and inshallah the reward, subhanAllah, Allah will still reward you. Jazakallah khair. Good question here. It's from Ray. If somebody is exempt from fasting because of a chronic illness or something like that, and if they're not able to make up for it on a later date, do they make some kind of financial compensation for that? Can you explain, please?
Yeah, so with regards to illness, those who have a permanent chronic illness and they're unable to fast, and for the sake of, you know, it's a permanent situation with them, then it is upon them to feed a poor person for each of the days that they don't fast. That can be done at the beginning of the month. It can be done at the end of the month. And that's nisf sa', that's like about 1.5 kilos of staple food for that poor person. If you can't do that here in the UK, then you can pay or give the money to a charity so that food can be given to the fuqara and the masakeen, the poor and destitute in another country. That's if you have a permanent situation. If it's a temporary situation, you can't fast now, but I can fast in maybe a month's time or 2 months' time, then there's nothing upon you. There's no fidya. You don't pay anything. You just simply make those days up in the future, inshallah ta'ala.
Especially when the days get shorter, inshallah.
That might be something someone to aim for. Definitely. The winter is a good time to make up lots of days, inshallah.
Yeah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Okay, we have another one. We've got an interesting one. It's pandemic related. So this brother or sister didn't have a name here. It says, because someone, if they follow the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during a pandemic or a plague, and they stay where they are, they don't leave their house, for example, does leaving the house during the pandemic diminish the reward of that person? Because the reward the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is similar to that of a shaheed, of a martyr.
Yeah.
So does leaving the house reduce or diminish your reward, basically?
Okay, sure. There's a couple of issues here. The first one is that is determining, or is this pandemic, does it come under a plague or not? There's some discussion with the ulama concerning this. There is one view is that by analogy, it can be considered as a plague. However, some other ulama, they say it's not quite reached the level of a plague, because we know that the Prophet ﷺ told us in sound a hadith that the plague would not be able to enter into Mecca and Medina. And seeing that this particular virus has entered into Al-Medina and Mecca as well, there are many cases there, then it's not the plague. I'm not here to, you know, say absolutely one opinion is correct over the other, but these are some of the discussions that the ulama have mentioned on that. Now, on the premise that, you know, let's can say, you know, the ulama say, yes, it is the plague. And it is right to mention that staying in your home out of the fear of spreading or catching, if it's necessary for you to go out to feed your family, for you to buy essentials, then you know, inshallah, this won't diminish what is mentioned in the hadith. You know, because if you remain in your home, what will happen? I mean, if you run out of food and you run out of provisions and whatnot, then, you know, who knows what is going to happen? But it's kind of in line with the guidance that is given to us, that, you know, you really shouldn't leave unless there is a need to do so. And if you follow that advice, then inshallah ta'ala, you can come under the hadith if it is considered a plague. Wallahu a'lam.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have Zam McQuinney says on Facebook, Assalamu alaikum. It's difficult for me to wear hijab, but I do so during the month of Ramadan. Is there any dua or advice? I'm tired of not covering my hair, but I pray and fast, alhamdulillah.
So, when a person feels that there's a responsibility in front of them, and they feel some burden on themselves, they feel something within their heart that they want to do that. I would say dhalika sarihul iman. This is iman within you wanting to do that. This is your faith and your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanting to fulfill this obligation. So the fact that you know, that you can do it in the month of Ramadan, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and bless you in this blessed month of Ramadan. Amen. That don't allow the good actions, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that just like the woman who is spindling up, you know, all the work that you have done, don't kind of like undo it after you achieved so much. So the fact now that, you know, in your home, or if you happen to go out during the month of Ramadan, use this as a kind of a training for you. There's not many people out, because maybe you feel there's reasons why you're not wearing it. There's too many people watching me, looking at me. I feel you know, a bit inhibited about wearing the hijab. Well, at the moment, there isn't too many people out. Use this as an opportunity to, you know, strengthen yourself about wearing the hijab. And I'm sure that you'll be able to overcome that. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, may Allah give you the strength of iman to continue.
I mean, it's always good to hear those types of questions. It shows that people are, you know, that struggle, their experiences, inshallah, beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah.
And Allah's made it easy for us, you know, not many people outside, and everyone's covering their face as well.
Subhanallah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I was going to mention the niqab, but maybe that's a little bit down the line.
We have another question on YouTube now. This is from someone called Pray for Paradise. If I wake up 2 minutes after Fajr has entered without eating or drinking anything, but I have a bottle of water I intended to drink next to me, can I drink it? Or must I follow the calendar very strictly?
Sure. So there's two parts to this answer. There's a personal kind of experience, and which is in line with the Islamic answer. The Islamic answer, quite simply, is that once the time has come in, you can't eat or drink anything. Even though you woke up late, you're not permitted to drink or eat anything. And I remember, maybe 20 years ago, I ate something and I didn't have any suhoor. It was in the month of Ramadan and I missed suhoor. And even before I went to sleep, I was really thirsty. So I woke up absolutely parched. So I actually went to one of my, when I was studying, to one of my friends, and I said, listen, this is the situation. Can I do something about this? He said, you're going to have to persevere with it. But, you know, if during the day, give me some kind of little tips that you feel particularly thirsty, he said, you know, you can make wudu, rinse your mouth out, have a cool shower. If you feel thirsty, maybe take a nap for half an hour, which can quite easily lead into a cup of water. Be careful, we don't sleep the whole day. But also, the Prophet said that, لِصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَنْ, that the fasting person has two happinesses. عند فطره وعند لقاء ربه. That when he breaks his fast and when he meets his Lord. You can be assured, inshallah ta'ala, that if you happen to be particularly thirsty that day, or if it's today, you will have the best glass of water you've had in your life, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah, mashallah. Just to touch on something you mentioned there, so a lot of people do have a nap during the day, especially on the day off, or people work from home. What's the ruling on that? Should you try and avoid sleeping, or does it not matter? Yeah. Or if your intention is to stay awake longer during the night, for example?
Yeah, so mashallah, I guess sleeping the whole day is not really practical. It's not a good idea. You want to know that and feel that you are fasting, but taking like what is known as a siesta, or qaylula in Arabic, after between dhuhr and asr, doesn't have to be between dhuhr and asr, but it depends on the schedule of your day. But if you want to take a little rest in the day, that allows you to stay awake in the nighttime, that's your intention behind that, and then you're rewarded for that sleep, subhanAllah. So there's no problem in you doing that, inshallah ta'ala.
Okay, jazakallah khair. We have a question via email, and just a reminder, brothers and sisters, the email address to send any questions is dailyqa@islam21c.com. And also we have people, and myself as well, we're checking the comments under YouTube and Facebook. So send any questions there as well. The question is from a brother, I won't mention his name. He says, I'm living in Canada with my family, a wife and a kid. I owe a debt of $6,000 to my bank, and I'm really having a hard time to pay it off. The amount piled up during the last 3 years. I never thought it would go up so fast. It's really hard to make any my payments, especially with the current context. What do you suggest me to do? Do you have tips for me to, or do you know anyone who can help me clear my debt? I made a promise to Allah that I will never go back to the situation in my life. So
yeah,
am I?
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I might add to that, some people might also ask something similar to that, and that is taking one loan to another loan to pay off other debts. So, you know, you have these kind of schemes for people who are struggling with debt, and part of the stuff that they, I'm sure you've seen this, you know, on TV and stuff, they suggest you get another loan, which is a lower interest rate that allows you to pay off those loans. So that is one of the things that people are advised. Islamically, where do we stand with that kind of stuff? What kind of advice do we give brothers and sisters like this?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you. The dune or debts are one of the biggest kind of stresses that a person can have, owing money to people. I know, you mentioned you're from Canada, but it might be worth contacting your bank or the one who's loaned you the money to explain to them your current financial situation and say that it's kind of escalating and it's increasing beyond your ability to pay that off. So as you're paying it off, it's getting more and more and more, it's ballooning, as it were. So if you can say to them, is it possible just to set up a kind of a payment plan which allows you to see some light at the end of the tunnel? And at least here in the UK, some banks do have some, you know, specific agreements with certain people that they'll allow you, I mean, they cut the interest rate, for example, for that individual. It's not across the board, but certain individuals, just so that they don't become kind of swamped by the debt. So speak to that particular bank and see if you can have an arrangement with them that allows you to have some form of plan to rid yourself of that particular debt. That's the first thing I'd say. Secondly is, you know, of course, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, a prophet alayhi salam entered the masjid on one occasion and saw a companion and saw that it was between salah, and he said, the messenger, he said, why are you sitting here? He said, you know, ghalabatni dun, that my debts have overcome me. So the Prophet Azam taught him a dua, and if you go to the Husn al-Muslim, Fortress of the Muslim, you'll see the du'as for the paying off of debts. There's quite a few in there, inshallah, actually. So if you go to that Fortress of the Muslim, and you repeat these du'as, and you know, as Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلُهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, that whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Jalla wa'ala will make a way out for them and provide for them from where they did not know. So taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely important. Okay, making dua to Allah Jalla wa'ala to help you get rid of these debts. And, you know, subhanAllah, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you and make things easy for you. But you must not lose despair, lose your hope and be in a state of despair. That's very important. So as long as you do your best, inshallah ta'ala, in speaking to the one who's lent you the money, so that you can have some form of plan, and do what is necessary in taking the necessary means, having trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm sure that you'll pay off bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.
Yeah, I mean, may Allah make it easy for him. We have another question. This is from my brother Ibrahim. He said, would a woman who prays Fajr by herself get the same reward mentioned in the hadith that promises the reward of Hajj and Umrah if one prays with the Jama'ah and sits and makes dhikr until sunrise?
This hadith is founded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. And however, the ulama have mukhtalif in, or the debate whether it's acceptable or not with regards to authenticity. So some of the ulama have rendered the hadith daif. As for those who have rendered it to be sahih or hasan, acceptable, then it is the Jama'ah which is established in the masjid and not in the home. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. We have another question. Hey, this one's from YouTube. It's from Brother Mahmoud. He says, is there any difference in the reward for the shaheed who dies from the pandemic and the shaheed who dies from in battle, basically?
Yeah. So the Prophet alayhi salam, and likewise the Quran in various places, tells us about the reward of the shaheed, the martyr on the battlefield, who dies for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salam also included a number of situations in which if a person dies in, they are also called a shaheed. So the person who maybe dies of drowning, who dies of a stomach disease, or pleurisy, which is a kind of a lung disease, and also a ta'un of the plague and things like that, There's
the
hadith
woman
states
in
that there,
childbirth, I think, as
woman
well.
in childbirth. Yeah, there's a number
Yeah.
of, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Jazakallah khair. There's a the hadith
For the
mentions a number of
sisters.
situations. Yes, for the sisters as well, of course. Now, with regards to dunyawi or worldly rulings, then they differ. The one who dies on the battlefield, i.e., the one who dies on the battlefield is not washed, is not shrouded, and they're buried where they are. As for the one who dies of the diseases or the situations I mentioned previously, then they are washed and they're shrouded and they're prayed over, okay, and they're buried. So with regards to worldly issues, there's a slight difference. In the Akhirah, then inshallah ta'ala, the status of the one who is in the battlefield, there is a hadith which mentions specifically the reward that they will get, which is over and above others, because the martyrs, they are not the same level in the hereafter. But nonetheless, if somebody gets the reward, or he receives the reward of a martyr, then no doubt they're saved from many trials, like the trials of the grave, and will receive a beautiful reward in the hereafter. But the very highest level of the shaheed is the one who dies on the battlefield. Now.
Okay. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have another question here. This is from Sarah. Assalamu alaikum. Women who have many months of fasting to catch up on because of pregnancy and breastfeeding from several children, catching up these fasts is quite difficult. Can women pay fidya for missed fasts?
Right. So if the sister, may Allah make it easy for her, if she has the ability to fast, then those fasts remain in her account. So sometimes sisters, over a period of years, they might have go through giving birth and then nursing their child, and then becoming pregnant again, and then giving birth and then nursing again. It's a bit of a cycle, and sometimes that can last for 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on the amount of children that they have.
It kind of adds up. So every
it certainly
year
does.
It might maybe be a bit daunting.
It can be, but you have a valid excuse not for fasting those because of the situation that you are in. But that being the case, those days still do remain in your account. Just paying a fidya of not fasting them is not an option. But you would have to, to slowly but surely fast them. And as you mentioned earlier, that in the winter time, the days are very, very short, especially in November, December, January, somewhat in February as well. You may be fasting maybe 8 or 9 hours a day.
So just
made up really quickly.
Delaying lunch, basically.
Yeah, pretty much that. Yeah, subhanAllah. So, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that you're fulfilling one of the pillars of Islam. It's not a small thing. It's one of the things that defines us as Muslims. Yeah. So it's a good opportunity for you to do that, inshallah, in the winter.
Excellent. Jazakallah khair. May Allah make it easy for her and all the sisters watching in a similar position. I know my wife is in a similar position as well, alhamdulillah. But she has this habit of maybe just kind of when the days are short, she tries to make use of that time. May Allah make it easy. They say the winter is the spring of the believer, right? Because
yes,
the nights
that's right.
are long. For Qiyam al-Layl and the
That's
days
right.
are short. Speaking of Qiyam al-Layl, I was wondering if you had some advice on to advise people how to go about praying Taraweeh at home. We had a few questions about this yesterday. We weren't able to answer this, but
sure.
I mean, if someone hasn't got that much Quran memorized, can they use short surahs or?
Yeah. So just a little while ago, I was having discussion with somebody, and I asked that person, "Have you memorized like from Surah Al-Ma'un to the end?" Which is the last 8 chapters of the Quran, from Surah Al-Ma'un, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ, until the end. And then after that you have 8 chapters. And they said, yeah, well, I have, yes. So I said, even if, and these are very short surahs, if you were able to pray one of these chapters in each of the raka'at, you will have offered 8 raka'at, as the Prophet ﷺ used to do in Ramadan. And then all you have to do after that, inshallah ta'ala, is to pray witr, 3 raka'at. If you want to recite, 3 very short chapters, then you have prayed ihda asharat raka'ah, you've prayed 11 raka'at, just as the Prophet ﷺ did.
So,
some of us put a lot of pressure on ourselves that I have to, recite from, al-Fatiha to an-Nas through the whole, the whole of Ramadan. If you can do that, alhamdulillah, fabiha wa ni'ma. But if you can't, don't overly put pressure on yourself that you end up doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sometimes there's a middle ground. So just do whatever you can. And, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem, jawad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, is merciful and knows your situation in detail better than yourself. So all you need to do is your very best, inshallah ta'ala.
Exactly. It's quite an important lesson just generally for life. You know, if you can't do something in a perfect way, don't just leave it. You know,
exactly.
You can try and don't let perfection be the enemy of good.
Yes, yes.
Some people say.
Yes,
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for giving up your time. And jazakallah khairan, brothers and sisters, for tuning in and sending your questions. We'll be here, inshallah, the same time, same place tomorrow. We want to keep these short and snappy so we can spend this time just before the, between Asr and Maghrib for people to engage in themselves in dhikr and use it in a beneficial way, inshallah. So please do, stay tuned to the online masjid. We'll be releasing some tasters this week for different programs coming up. And check out onlinemasjid.islam21c.com. That's onlinemasjid.islam21c.com. For now, I've been your host, Salman Butt. Thank you very much again to our Sheikh, Sheikh Wasim Kemsen. And see you all tomorrow, same time, 7 p.m., YouTube and Facebook. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.